Okay, welcome to Bill and Jerry's Excellent Podcast. We're really excited today because we have the great Antonia Forte, a.k.a. Tony. We call her Tony.
Which you prefer?
Both are fine with all me. Right. Tony started as a family nickname, but now pretty much everybody calls me Tony.
Okay, yeah. Well, we like Tony, so no matter what you call her, you're going to find out a lot about career, Tony's career path, and we were able to dig up some information from one of your internships, Tony. We have here Tony's life card. It's called My Life, My Card. Ah. It's something you did at American Express.
Yes.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. But your childhood ambition was to be a fashion designer or an architect. Well, that's gone out the window. But
it has.
We're learning a lot about you. You won the Art Cup in school in third grade. Your hobbies are creative projects, drawing, painting, reading magazines. And your favorite movies are Good Will Hunting, Clueless, The Devil Wears Prada, and White Christmas. Do you need to know anything else?
Anyway, I'm already impressed, yeah.
Anyway, it's great to have you here. You're really here because you have a really unique career path. You are a graduate of the University of Miami. You worked for a few years at AutoNation. And then you went back to get your MBA at Vanderbilt. So we thought it would be great to have you in here to give us a perspective on where you are now, why you did what you did, and what career really means to you. So welcome, and tell us what you would like us to know about you.
Before you get started, I just want to add, if you're viewing this for the first time, this is all about career readiness, right, and the journey that Jerry just described for you, right, and that you're in right now as an early career professional. And what's unique, I think, in this episode, Tony, as we'll get into, is you've had the process of getting the job, and now you're in the job, and we'll probe on both. But that all said, tell us about Tony.
Absolutely. So I'm currently working for Citibank. I'm in the consumer bank, the personal bank. I serve as our vice president of Best Buy partner marketing. So I work very closely with Best Buy on their credit card. And my role particularly focuses on our early month on book journey. So if you go to the store, you open a Best Buy credit card, the emails, the sheet of paper, the card carrier that your plastic comes on, that's all me. So feel free to reach out if you like it or if you have some critical feedback for me. I love working with partners, and that is something that I came to find through the early years of my career. I don't think I even knew that working with partners in a partner management or strategic partnership type of role really existed back when I was in college, but I knew I wanted something that allowed for some elements of creativity, some elements of being analytical. I like working with people. And so I kind of stumbled into my first job, which was at AutoNation, working on third-party partnerships. And I found that it ended up being a fantastic fit for me and something that I really loved. So as you mentioned, I did go back to business school, and that was something, the partner management piece, that I wanted to weave as a common thread throughout my resume. A lot of the roles that I looked at in business school and thought about had that element to them, and that was something I thought about a lot in terms of my post-MBA roles. So what else can I tell you more about?
Well, I just want to probe on that a little bit. There are several types of people, early career. I'll summarize it by saying some very intentional, very focused, and they live out through that process those elements, right? And there are others that we hear about all the time, and there's nothing better or worse. I have no idea what I want to do. I'm in school. What'd you major in?
I majored in marketing, and I had minors in international business and creative advertising.
Okay. So I know, but let the audience, which one of those types of people are you? How close in your journey to date, thinking about it, choosing a school, majoring, then working, then going to business school? I get the impression you've had a vision not necessarily overly structured, but a general, would that be fair?
Yeah, I think I'm somebody who is very intentional, and I have had a general vision of the types of things I saw myself doing, the types of industries I thought I saw myself working in. But I'm also, or at least I try to be open to whatever opportunities come my way. I was not super passionate about cars at the time that I took the AutoNation right. role. That was like partly driven by a connection that I had, and a lot of the work that they do to give back to cancer, which was part of the connection that I had. And I think that you can find really great opportunities that are out. If you try to go too narrow, sometimes you limit yourself, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So I think, yes, I have had a vision and a path forward that I've continued to develop over time to where I'm able to more confidently say I like working in partnerships and that's where I am now. But it's taken me some time to get there, and it's definitely been, you know, the people I've met along the way, the classes I've taken that have really helped me shape that to where I'm able to make that more confident statement.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome, because we often, it just comes up every single time. How do you figure out what you want to do, right? And there are different types of people who go through different pieces, right, of that journey.
Right.
And yours is distinctive in that way.
But the interesting thing about your journey is that you graduated from college and you went right into a role that is really the entry-level role for what you studied. So you were a marketing coordinator at AutoNation. When you started college, did you think, I'm going to be a marketing coordinator when I graduate? And how did you get to that point?
I don't think I knew enough about what was out there in terms of the role titles. I do think I had a general sense, like we were saying, of industry or where I saw myself. Between my sophomore and junior year, I worked at a creative agency, and so that really allowed me to see what it might be like if I were working on the agency side, dealing with multiple clients. And then between my junior and senior year, I worked in-house somewhere on some marketing and design work, and I think that then allowed me to see the flip side. What would it be like if I were in-house somewhere? And I think I found that I preferred the idea of being in-house versus juggling multiple clients. And so I think that was in and of itself the first thing that I needed to decide when it came to marketing, because I think those are two very common paths you can choose. And that was kind of the first checkbox, let's say. And then I think over time, you know, I figured out what types of companies I wanted to pursue. I liked the idea of going somewhere that had a big brand name where there were going to be a lot of resources and great people for me to learn from. And that was part of how I arrived at AutoNation. And I think then when I was there, it was, you know, talking to people in different departments that helped me figure out what I liked and what I didn't like, what I might want to explore in the future. And then some of that's, you know, what led me to arrive at maybe going back to school. So I think it's definitely a gradual building effect.
Yeah. So often we all get the question, do I need to go back to business school? And you went and you had a great experience at Vanderbilt, at Owen, great school, great reputation. But maybe help our listeners, what was going through your mind after, was it what, 3 or?
5 years.
5 years.
Officially started.
Right. At AutoNation, right before you start. So why at that point, was it always a thought? And as you went through the scenario of why or why not, what stuck out for you?
Sure. I think it was always a thought in the back of my mind. I noticed a lot of leaders at AutoNation had an MBA. I also had some different family members or other role models who I saw had gone into had higher education. But I think it wasn't until maybe my third or fourth year at AutoNation when I was feeling like I had mastered some of the things that I came in and learned for the first time and was ready for a new challenge that I started to really think about it more seriously. The interesting thing about business school is that unlike if you're in the medical field or law school, you don't need to get an MBA. And I think that there are a lot of people who see really great success within their careers without a business degree. Right. So what's kind of special about it is that the people who are there really want to be there because they're trying to maybe make some sort of change in their career. They're really passionate about advancing in the path that they're already in. So it's a very unique group of people, and I found it to be a huge luxury to take a step back from working full-time to go to school full-time for 2 years and really just explore what I had learned so far, where I wanted to be, what I wanted to work on. I think outside of the hard skills and the new aspects of business that I was able to pick up through business school, there was a huge emphasis on leadership at Vanderbilt, and that was something that I really enjoyed. And I think being able to sit with, we had a leadership development team, being able to sit with our leadership team and talk to them about different manager styles, talk to them about how I was maybe even working in teams with people in school, it was hugely beneficial for me.
So you made the right decision.
For me.
For you.
Yes.
Right. You've mentioned the word leadership, and I saw that in some of your notes. It's important to you. What does that mean, right? Did you get involved? You knew you needed to distinguish yourself as a leader throughout, whether it was undergrad, AutoNation, at school, or now, critically important, at your return to the corporate life. What does that mean to you? And how did you demonstrate that leadership throughout?
Yeah, I think I've always been excited about taking on leadership seats from the time I was in high school when I was president of our Italian Honor Society to, you know, in college taking on leadership within my sorority. I think I really enjoy getting to be a part of the team that's driving things forward and thinking about how to make an organization better, how to build community. And so I think back when I was in high school or college, leadership seats to me meant more of being able to prove myself. And something that I focused on more in business school and now is using leadership as a way to empower and uplift other people and being able to delegate. And I think those are important skills to understand and work on if you have hopes of maybe managing a team someday. And I think, you know, I am still figuring out where my career is going to take me, obviously, but it's something that definitely I enjoy.
If you were at, go back to your days at the U that we're all very passionate about, right, University of Miami, did others see you as a leader in your, were you a sorority member or no? Okay. So did that permeate during your time undergrad at DU?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like initially it was, you know, leadership, I guess, to clarify.
It's a broad word.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it doesn't have to mean that you're VP of something, right, or manager of someone. I think it can be more broad than that. So I think initially it was smaller leadership, like being able to raise a hand if I knew I could contribute something when we needed help with, you know, raising money for philanthropy or whatever we were working on. And then I think later it did take more of a formal shape where I served on our executive council in my sorority. And then even to my last days in my senior year, I assisted our pledge mom because it was really important to me to meet the new class and continue to be involved. I think I just really like meeting people and being somebody they can turn to. I know there have been times where I've really appreciated those who I felt comfortable speaking to. And so if I can serve as that person for somebody else, it means a lot to me.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So we talked a lot about, in our pre-interview, we talked a lot about your value in being the whole person. Mm-hmm. At Fordham, we call it cura personalis. But tell us what it means to you.
The whole person.
The whole person.
I really like that concept. I think the term whole person, that the first time I heard it was with the two of you. And I think it's important because when I was in high school and college, I was very involved in my school communities. But in high school, I also used to paint a few times a week and pursue other hobbies and projects. And I think that post University of Miami, it was easy to fall into that routine that I think a lot of people do of going to work, coming home, going to gym, cooking dinner, going to brunch with your friends on the weekend, and that's kind of it. And I think that maintaining hobbies, getting involved in the community are things that enrich your life and make me happier, I know. And I think when I'm doing the things that make me happy outside of work, I show up better to work. So for me, it's all interconnected and everybody's different and everyone has different priorities. So if you've chosen a career path that's extremely rigorous, you're in investment banking or consulting, mm-hmm. maybe you don't have the same amount of time to give to hobbies or extracurriculars, but think about what's important to you and allow yourself the 1 hour a week, maybe in your context, that you're working on something you're passionate about, whether it's reading or connecting with your community. And I think that give yourself the flexibility to reevaluate that every so often too. I think, you know, post MBA, I moved to New York City. I gave myself 6 months to just focus on work and say, okay, how can I get familiar with city, get familiar with my neighborhood, learn where the grocery store is, all of those basic things. But then at the start of the new year, I got in touch with the University of Miami Alumni Group and I said, okay, how can I be a part of this? So mm-hmm. I think I worked something new and shifted my priorities a little bit. And I'm constantly thinking, okay, are all the things that I'm giving my energy to bringing me joy? And if not, like, what maybe needs to shift? It doesn't have to be, oh, now I'm involved in the alumni community, I'm doing that forever. Things can, you can lean in more or lean away as you find they fit into your schedule.
So the advice, and couldn't agree with you more, I mean, whole person could be interchanged with work-life balance, right? Pursuing your interests in a balanced way. Do you think in any way, in your couple years now back in the corporate life, it's hindered any of your ability to move forward at in a big corporate environment? Or do you feel it's actually helped you?
I think for me, it's definitely helped. I feel like when you're somebody who's maintaining your hobbies and passions, that gives you something interesting to say to the people who you work with outside of the things that you're working on. Of course, give your job your best self, but I think also being able to say, oh, I'm really excited about this concert I'm going to, or this, you know, dinner that I put together, or this recipe that I'm going to try this weekend. I think those are things that really build your relationships with colleagues, with leaders. And in my context, especially working with external partners, I think, you know, early on in my career, outside of sitting in a meeting and discussing performance, I was expected to go to dinner with partners. And, you know, those dinners sometimes involved conversations around what was a priority at work, but it also involved us just talking about what we enjoy in life. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I think that that's part of what helps you build relationships when you have something outside of just work to share with the people around you.
I noticed on your resume, you put some hobbies on there. Do you think that helps you or hinders you? Or, in fact, I think I remember seeing that you like baking biscuits.
Yes.
And that's on your resume.
Yes.
Anyone ever brought that up before me?
Yes. So I got into I got into baking biscuits a couple of years before going back to business school. And then as part of one of my MBA applications, I had to make a short video and I put together a biscuit recipe as that video. And I used that video content to then tie to a little short story about myself. So I used it in my business school application. And then I feel like when I moved to Nashville, I was in a perfect place to perfect that skill. So I did take a class while I was there and I practiced a little more. But I think, you know, those are the things that make us human. It's, you know, something nice for an interviewer to ask me about if they feel comfortable going to that place. And I think that a lot of people do see those hobbies and bring them up, and it, you know, gives more personality outside of the hard skills that I bring to the table.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
How are the biscuits?
I think they're pretty good. My family has had some not so good first
tries. They got
tries.
The early versions.
They got the early versions, but now they're pretty good. And a few years ago when I was in school, I had a few friends over and we actually did a test to comparing some different flours. So it's allowed me to connect with people in many different unexpected ways.
Hence the whole person.
Whole person.
Yes.
One other topic I would like to probe on. In the pre-interview, we talked a little bit about it. Managers, mentors, and the continuation of pursuing the mentorship, which we have touched on. Do you see a difference? Like, at the workplace now, are there some managers who are just managers, or managers that are also mentors, or you see it independently as you pursue those you're going to get advice from?
Yeah, I think that manager, mentor, leader, they can all be the same person or they can be different. I think that I've been fortunate that many of the managers that I've had in my career have also been individuals who I felt I could trust and talk to about career moves and advice and ways in which I could improve at my job. But I think I've also sought out mentorship from other individuals, whether that's family, friends, even peers, or even people who are or more junior to me at work. I think you never know when someone you meet might share something that is new to you that helps you learn or grow in some way. So I think those terms are very broad and they can take the shape of the same person or they can end up being different people in your life.
How about, well said. Yeah, well said. How about a bad manager?
So I'm fortunate that I don't think I've had a truly bad manager. I do think that there is definitely such a thing as a bad manager, but yeah. I would also argue that so much of management depends on who you are as a person. And I think that for me right now, I feel confident in my role and I feel like I have good experience under my belt. And so I have a manager who really trusts me and empowers me and lifts me up. And that's a wonderful feeling and something that I think suits me really well with where I am in my career. But I think in my early days of my career, I had managers who didn't necessarily not empower me, but they gave me a lot more guidance. And they were really there to work with me on how to build PowerPoint slides or an Excel that was going to generate the type of reporting that I wanted or whatever it was that I was trying to learn. My managers were a lot more hands-on. And so I think that if I had somebody now who was so hands-on, I might find it frustrating as I want to grow more independently. So I think, you know, it's not as simple as good and bad. It's a little bit about thinking about what you're hoping to gain from someone who's your manager and what might be a good fit for you at the point in time that you're at in your career.
So to that point, would you agree for those that are just starting out, it being intentional about seeking that out? I need this. And if I could go here, here, or here inside the firm, and I'm going to find out about this through due diligence, I want a manager, she or he, that is this for me at this point, and being intentional about that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think the more you can do that, the better. Obviously, sometimes it's difficult to know before you get into a role how you're really going to work with somebody. And the best that you can communicate what you're looking for, which takes time. I think that, you know, I didn't necessarily know what I needed and wanted in a manager right when I stepped into the role that I'm in, but you start to figure it out. And I think being able to sit down in a one-on-one with your manager and say, hey, I've noticed I'm really struggling in this area. What can we do to help me improve? Or I feel like I've really got this. Like, you know, how can we work better together so that you trust me to own it on my own? I think that, you know, there are ways that you can manage up and communicate what it is that you're looking for to hopefully help guide your manager as much as they're guiding you.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, here's your opportunity to sum it up. You have an aspiring, what do you call it, rising sophomore, junior, or senior out there. They'll be returning in the fall. You told your story. Sum it up. What advice are you giving them before we wrap?
And they're looking for their first job?
Yeah.
And they know what they want to do or not yet?
No, I don't know. Just your experience has earned you some wisdom. Might not be the same for everybody, but those that are out there are wondering, from everything we've talked about, sum it up for us, to them.
Okay. I think one of the biggest things that I would tell people to do is to talk to the people around you first and foremost, because it's a missed opportunity to not do that, to not learn from other people's stories. And especially in the world we're in today with great podcasts like this one, find podcasts that are tailored to maybe the type of industry or function that you're interested in and work those into your routine, because I think that having conversations live, but also hearing this sort of conversation that we're having mm-hmm. is what helps you figure out what questions you want to ask, figure out where to go next. So I think that's definitely the first thing. And then the second thing is, like we were saying before, you know, lean into the things that make you happy, that you're excited about. If you can find those things in the workplace, all the better. But if you're somebody who your job is going to be really more of just your career and not necessarily maintain your hobbies outside of your career. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think those are the two biggest things.
That's before awesome. We wrap.
Yeah.
I have one more question for you. We'll drill down more in our next episode. But before we go and bring in a mentor or mentee and go to the round table, one last question for you here. Who has inspired you? Who believed in you to give you this level of confidence?
Besides Jerry and I. Are you implying? No, I'm teasing. Go ahead.
No, but it's clear that you come to us with a huge level of confidence. Mm. And that's what we try and instill in people. If there's one takeaway from Bill and Jerry's Excellent Podcast, we want it to be that you should be confident in pursuing your goals in your career. And it's clear that you have that confidence. So who gave you that? Who believed in you?
Oh, it's not just one person. It's everybody. I mean, it's everybody who I've mentioned, I think, and it's different people at different points in time. When I was in college, my sorority sisters were a huge support system. They really lifted me up. They gave me confidence to try so many new things that I might have been uncertain of. I think, you know, it's always been my parents. And I think as time goes on, it's cousins, it's friends, it's people I meet for the first time through work, through the alumni network. So anyone and everyone has helped me get to where I am today.
Awesome. Yeah,
that's awesome. Tony, thank you. This has been great to hear your story, to provide the wisdom to our viewers, if you will. And Jerry, as you said before, when are they going to see this?
We drop our episodes on the 1st and the 15th of each month. We're going to keep Tony around so we can meet a mentee,
yes.
get some mentorship advice and stories. So Tony will be in two episodes.
Okay.
And we'll move to the roundtable now. Don't forget to catch us at spillingthecareertea.com. We're on YouTube under Bill and Jerry's Excellent Podcast, a.k.a. Spilling the Career Tea. And we're on all major social media platforms, Apple, Spotify for podcasts. Join us. And thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Great to be a part of this.